Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Pod on You Loons. This is Justin.
Hey, Pod on You Loons. It's Sam.
Hey, Pod on You Loons. This is Doomsday.
Good to be here. Good to be here. I just got done with the first 2 days back teaching.
Ooh, back on the grind, huh?
Back on the grind. Yeah, it was, it was fine. I think I'm going to have a good year. Have a good
group. How do you do trust falls when you're in an online class? Like, what's the strategy for that?
Did you do trust falls when you were teaching in person?
I never did it, but when I was a student, I did trust falls 1 year as a kid, as a team builder. I also, actually, with your wife, you could probably talk to her about this. The first time I met her, we did a icebreaker where everybody sat on each other's laps and made like a circle. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like overlapping. And I was in a group with Sarah. I don't know if Emma was in that group, but and another girl that I can't remember what her name was. But I was in that icebreaker. They don't really do icebreakers like that anymore, do they?
Yeah.
The physical touch ones, not quite a thing anymore.
Yeah, probably
especially
not.
Especially online.
Did you get your free pizza?
Free pizza? Yeah. Someone actually listens to the show. Yeah. No, we did not get a free pizza. Yeah. So, right. Like my wife. So the reason that we are recording on a Thursday is because I had a ridiculous week where my wife was traveling for work. She was in Washington, D.C. And then I had to commute between the Twin Cities and a location about 90 minutes from the Twin Cities twice on back-to-back days while my wife was gone. So we had like, you know, I'm solo parenting. I had to bring in my aunt to help out with the kids. And it was a jam-packed couple of days for us early in this week. And anyway, like I'm commuting 90 minutes to get to work. And right, like that's the life of a public employee is, you know, my wife, when she travels for work, they always feed her really well. But when you're a public employee, like we don't even have money for Domino's pizza.
I got to tell you though, Sam, at my new school, they make all the food in-house. Ooh. And it's all like really high quality, like Asian food. And so nice. We've had some really good meals over our training the last couple of weeks.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Yeah. Jeremy, it's funny. So Jeremy, Justin, and Jeremy and I worked at this school in St. Paul. We worked there not at exactly the same time. I think we overlapped about 4 or 5 years, Jeremy and I, but Jeremy and I each worked there for 10 years. Justin worked there for a semester, but it's a significant spot to all of us early on in our careers. And Jeremy just took a job literally across the street. You get to give a peace sign to your old stopping grounds every day on your way to work.
They have an opening for the middle school soccer coach. And I was like, I could Ted Lasso this right now. Let's go. And I'm like, no, that seems like a really bad idea.
Oh, that would be awesome. We could start a side podcast where we just recap your middle school soccer team.
I have a hot takey question right now. Because we're three educators. Could Ted Lasso cut it as a seventh grade teacher?
I mean, yeah, it probably depends on the school. Like, I don't know. Like, I think teaching is way different than like it often is portrayed. Like, I watch one of my favorite shows right now is Abbott Elementary. I love that show. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. And like Abbott Elementary kind of like portrays sort of like just the dysfunction that's associated with teaching. I think they do a pretty good job with that. And like they do a pretty good job showing that the teachers are really stressed and kind of overworked. But then like they all spend like so much time like chilling in the teacher's lounge, obviously, because they have to have dialogue or whatever. And what better place to have it than the teacher's lounge? And like they never get stuff thrown at them, and they've never been told to go have relations with a chicken like happened to Justin that one time. you know, it's like just they do as good of a job as anyone has of like painting a picture of the dysfunction, but I don't know. Like, I feel like you have to have a certain level of emotional numbness to be a seventh grade teacher these days. And I don't think Ted Lasso has it.
I was going to say, does anyone really make it as a seventh grade teacher? It's just like, you know, survive in advance. It's like the NCAA tournament, right? Like,
yeah.
Every day is a battle of some underdog trying to take your legs out from under you. And if you find a way to make it to the next round, then you just got to do it all over again.
And that's the ultimate, right? Like, I'm a huge Batman fan, so I'm going to quote Batman here. That's the ultimate, like, you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. Because like when you're young and can kind of relate to the kids a little bit, they love you. And it doesn't take that long before you're like, well, I don't relate to you at all. And they just view you as an old guy. Like, I don't even think I hit the age of 30 yet before they started looking at me like an old guy.
So this is a funny story. So when I first started teaching at the last school I was at, 7 years ago, there was this guy that like every kid in the school knew his name. Okay. Like he was the coolest teacher. I won't name names for anonymity's sake, but he was just like, he ruled the school, I would say. And I witnessed in my last year, it get to the point where kids were saying the F word to his face and were like, who are you? Like it was just so crazy, right? You understand the dynamic of a school and how it is its own like ecosystem and everything, and like where you fit into things is super important to these kids, especially for teachers, right? And to see someone go from there to the bottom, it just shows, right, the deterioration as time goes on. That is a perfect analogy, Sam. Die a hero or live long enough to become the villain.
You know, the school that we all worked for, I was a teacher there. I taught middle school there. And then I ended up being their assistant principal for 5 years, kind of by accident. And I remember in those early days of being assistant principal, you know, when you're an assistant principal, what they don't tell you is you're going to spend like half of your time subbing. And there would be times when I would be subbing and I would just take like three classes into a big room and just teach all three of them at the same time. Like I would take like an eighth grade class, a fourth grade class, and, you know, a sixth grade class. And I would just, you know, just take all the sub plans and just be like, okay, this is what you're doing. Go work on it. This is what you're doing. Go work on it. This is what you're doing. Go work on it. Early in my time as being a principal, all of those kids had me in the classroom relatively recently. So they kind of had this respect for me. And then like, as the time went on and more of the kids in the school didn't know me as their former teacher, and they just knew me as this assistant principal, the harder the job of being the assistant principal actually became, where, yeah, again, you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. It's, you know, you stay somewhere long enough and you're not going out on a high note. I'm sure there's someone out there that's like, oh, I retired at the same school after 40 years. That's awesome. Like you're one of the few.
Yeah. A similar thing, I guess, happened as like being a teacher and being like a former football player, right? Like,
yeah,
right away. It's, oh my gosh, you know, I looked like a football player. It's the coolest thing ever. The older I got, it became like a joke, or like a, there's no, where did you play? And like, what? come on. I'm 6'3". You got me questioning myself, little 12-year-old. Yeah. They are brutal. They are brutal.
Yeah. Us former cross country runners didn't command that same sort of swag.
So I just noticed, Jeremy, you have the Sternberger jersey, like, shrined in the background right now.
I do. Yeah,
I haven't probably seen that yet. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and the helmet and the football are also autographed by Sternberger, and I'll continue to add to
the. He had shrine to sign that. You were the only one that bought his jersey. So, to the non, like, and this is like a Packers deep dive. This was a Jeremy has the jersey of a
third round tight end.
Third round tight end that didn't really cut it in the NFL, but he bought his jersey because he just really had high hopes for this guy.
He's a champion. He won the USFL or the, I don't know, one of the new football leagues championship this year with the Packers practice squad quarterback as his quarterback this year. So Jace is a champion. You lay off Jace.
But this is why whenever like Jeremy, you know, because like Jeremy, to his credit, he did buy the Bongi jersey pretty quick and pretty impulsively. And that worked out. Right, that worked out, but this is why whenever the Loons sign like this obscure player, we're like, Jeremy, you gonna buy his jersey? You gonna buy it? It's because he has this Jay Sternberger jersey. Now, you know, credit where credit is due. You know that you get made fun of the Jay Sternberger jersey a lot, and you literally have it. It looks like it's professionally lit in the you know background of your man cave. So
it looks so good. It's this is great. I wish you all could see this. Can you paint Sam, as you would say, could you paint us a word picture?
Who's painting the word picture? Should I paint the word picture?
Sam.
Yeah. So imagine you're walking through the NFL Hall of Fame, right? The Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're in Canton. And, right, you're passing greats such as Walter Payton and Joe Montana. And... right. So you walk past these greats and then enshrined at the end of the hall and professionally lit alongside like a marble case is Jay Sternberger's number 87 for the Green Bay Packers. It wasn't Jordy Nelson. It wasn't Robert Brooks, but it's Jace Sternberger right there.
So I'll give you a little background on the professionally lit display case here. It's actually the when my stepfather died, and Sam came to the visitation or whatever, so he saw this. We made this whole big display with my stepdad's softball stuff that had like his softball jersey and his bats and glove and everything, and it was backlit and of course like it was made by my stepfather's brother, and like he was just gonna break it down, get rid of it afterwards, and I'm like, no, I'll take that. So. This is sort of like, and you know, it's probably got my stepdad rolling in his grave a little bit as a lifelong Bears fan that I've taken his tribute station and turned it into a Jace Sternberger shrine. But I mean, really, what else could you ask for? It's pretty awesome.
Did he ever tease you for buying that jersey?
My stepdad? Nah. He didn't pay that close of attention. He probably didn't know who he was. He probably thought like I just made him up.
Well, that's cool. That is cool. Well, all right. Shall we get on and talk some Loons?
Yeah, let's do it.
So James's five worder for the day. Oi, we got 4 points, mate.
So I take it you're not counting oi as a word?
You know, take it however you want, either oi or mate or... maybe he's had too many Fosters and he's not counting. anyway, that's your five order. Justin, go for the show overview.
The show overview, I didn't write this, so it's just spitballing. We're going to talk about a transaction. We're going to talk about the clubs that we love to follow. We will discuss two games. We're not going to talk too much about the first one, but we'll definitely be talking about that fantastic game that was yesterday. And yeah, we're just going to have a good time. Sam, can you tell us about our transaction?
Yeah, we have a transaction. So do you remember, like, was this 2 years ago when we got a bag of magic beans and Amcam for this kid named Caden Clark, young kid? His dad, I think, follows James on Twitter, or at least has liked to tweet by James on Twitter. But anyway, so Caden Clark, he played for like Red Bulls 2, right? That was his team, but he happened to be from Minnesota. And because of odd MLS rules, Minnesota United had his MLS rights, even though his contract was owned by Red Bulls 2. And, right, The big team, RB Leipzig, kind of had Caden Clark on their radar. And RB Leipzig, their plan for Caden Clark was for him to play with Red Bull New York a little bit and then make his way over to Leipzig. Now, right now, Caden Clark's contract is owned by RB Leipzig. But at the time, in order for Caden Clark to move on over to Red Bull New York, they had to buy his discovery rights from Minnesota United. So we got, you know, for a player that was never ours, I guess he played, I think, for the Minnesota Thunder Academy, like once upon a time, long ago. But for a player that was never ours, I think we got like 50,000 in GAM, something like that.
75,000.
75,000 in GAM. And, you know, it was at a time when our fan base was mad that we didn't really have an academy. So, like, I think our fan base was very kind of spiteful at this news. Like, we just got $75,000 for that we didn't even deserve.
Give it back.
Yeah.
Give it back. Give it back.
We're holding this young prospect's career hostage just because he happens to be from Minnesota. So, like, our fan base was very spiteful. But, you know, as Justin wrote in the show notes, oh, how the turntables have turned, because it looks like we're going to bring him in. His contract is now owned by RB Leipzig, and it looks like we're going to bring him in on loan. And you know what? I'm excited for this, right? Native Minnesotan, RB Leipzig must believe that he needs to play in the MLS a little bit more. And they're gonna loan him our way, right? He's a native Minnesotan. He did good for our Red Bull New York when he was playing over there. So I'm excited. Yeah,
I'm looking at his stats. So 6 goals and 15 appearances. It looks like, yeah, after the signing with RB Leipzig, his production dipped a bit, right? So maybe obviously, right, he's staying in the MLS, so he has not ascended. But it'll be fun to watch him play again. He flashed when he played for New York Red Bulls. I remember talking about it on the pod a lot, his big plays that he was making. He was on MLS Teams of the Week, right? So, yeah, it'll be good to see him again. It is just so funny how things go full circle, right?
And the people that were mad about the 75,000 in GAM that we got for no reason, they were even more mad when Caden Clark was doing well for Red Bull New York. So I don't know. People seem to have gotten out of that hizzy, which is good. It's good that they're out of that hizzy, because I think this is just good for Minnesota. You bring in another winger, he'll be good. We get him for the rest of the year. I'm guessing he's probably not a long-term option for Minnesota, but who knows?
I mean, it's good to have bodies. We have seen, right? Like, this might also be insurance for Bongi, unfortunately. Cross our fingers that he won't be out super long term, but you can never have enough attackers, because if you don't have anybody that can score, it doesn't matter how good your defense is, right? It doesn't matter how well you do. If you can't score, you're not going to have success. So yeah, keep loading them up.
Well, and more depth, this is the deepest this team has ever been. And like, even though we've suffered, you know, some major injuries this year, you know, we keep adding pieces, and those pieces are contributing. I mean, we've seen Bristow contribute. We'll be talking about Tajiri Shroudy, I'm sure, later on. So, hey, it's just another piece. And, you know, all it's going to take is, you know, just a ticket to the dance. And who knows if we can get a chance to lose to Messi in the final. So,
well, it's funny, like chat.
I'd take it. That'd be great.
in the chat, you know, James was talking about just how well Tajiri Shroudy looked the other day, right? He made the great assist to Pukki, correct? The Pukki goal was an assist.
Oh, beautiful pass. Just a beautiful pass.
Great pass, Pukki. Yeah.
And so James is talking about, like, well, when Bongi comes back, how do you bench him? And I'm like, think about this conversation that we're having, that Bongi, the beneficiary of Robin Lood being out on a season-ending injury, right? We have enough depth that we're like three deep at a position like that, at an important position like that, right? Think about all the years of us doing this podcast where, you know, it's like, oh, well, Minnesota United doesn't really use subs and we look gassed at the end of games. You know, you think about the Western, you know, that godforsaken Western Conference final and in which, you know, Seattle was able to make the comeback and we're just really, really, really looking gassed. And we're yelling at Heath, like, Heath, make the subs, make the subs, make the subs. And then you're kind of like also sympathetic to Heath, like, well, who are you going to put in? You know, because we didn't really have game changers on the bench ready to put in. Yeah, you're right. Like, watching this team this year with the depth that we have, where you have people like Franco Fragapane on the bench, right? This is a good team where you actually have people coming off the bench that you have hope will make the difference in the game. This is fun.
Korean Messi as well. Not Korean Messi, sorry. Mbappe. Korean Mbappe. Sorry. Yeah.
Korean Mbappe on the bench. He came on last night, almost had a goal.
So I said this in the chat, and then he proceeded to almost have a goal, but he feels like sometimes like he's all gas, no brakes. And obviously like that is a great mentality that you want athletes to have, right? The ability to just sell out completely. But it can be comical because it looks like he doesn't know what he's doing, right? Like he's sprinting so far up the field with the ball and he just has no control of what he's doing, right? It's reminiscent of Bongi last year. So I guess I'm hopeful that the more Simon gets to play that he can maybe become that type of player, right? But it's just it's fun to see him, and I'm glad he gets to be a sub because I don't think he's just not it yet, right? No. But that's okay. That's okay.
He'll get there.
Yeah, I've been wondering with, you know, the injuries and everything, I've been wondering why they haven't tried to put Sangbin in with Bongi and, you know, Pookie up front and see how that goes. And then last night I kind of just said to myself, oh, that's why. Like, it would be a little messy. It would be a little bit messy.
Now, your comment about all gas, no brakes, it of course reminds me of, I think his name was Mendoza in the Mighty Ducks, the guy that was great at skating, except, right, just one tiny little problem, he doesn't know how to stop. So he would always, like, just run into the wall, or sorry, skate into the wall.
Can I just say, he was trying out for, like, the U.S. team, and we're like, relying on guys that are just really good at, like, speed skating and can't break, like, the movie is based in Minnesota. Don't they just go back to Minnesota and get, you know, 20 more guys to fill out the squad? You know, they're picking out figure skaters and that guy, right?
Yeah, the Bash brothers were just like two guys like on the street. Inline, I think one of the Bash brothers didn't even know how to skate. Remember? He's like, there's only one problem. No one ever taught me how to skate before.
And you're going to represent Team USA.
Yep.
Love
Disney
it.
Disney movies were great.
So great.
Yep. Or like Kenan Thompson, they just picked him up. He was playing roller hockey. I guess that'd probably translate a little bit better, right? I don't know. I'm not really a hockey guy, but the 90s were great.
He was just playing down the street, right? He wasn't even like, it's not like he was some elite, you know, they're taking the best of the best. Right there.
He had the knuckle puck, though.
Yeah. In this specific park, he had the knuckle puck.
Yeah.
And he helped get gold for Team USA, so good for him.
Now, I've noticed, like, I don't watch a ton of hockey, but I've watched a little bit. No one ever does the knuckle puck or the flying V, like...
Because it's not real hockey stuff, man. It's not real life.
Yeah.
If your whole team just skated down the ice in a V... Could you imagine just the other team would just be just everyone would just be lining up to check you, right? Like it would just be a bloodbath. So,
sure. But that line, ducks fly together, right?
Great movies.
Do you think Heath ever like makes references to the Mighty Ducks in his halftime talks?
Quack. Quack.
No, I don't think he does.
I think so. What's more outrageous from the Mighty Ducks series? Okay, is it them, you know, picking up randos from Team USA, right? Or is it the fact that the junior varsity team challenged the varsity team at this high school to be the varsity team of the high school, and then they changed their mascot? You know what I'm talking about in this?
Yeah, which one was that? That was D3.
They became the Ducks, right? Like,
Yeah. Well, and
probably the Team USA one.
They
right?
got that, Team that, USA to change their jerseys to the duck jersey.
That's right. That's right.
Each movie, they ended up being the ducks, but
that's what they needed to do to get their mojo back at some point, right? Like the
yeah.
Just keep going back to the well.
Judging by Jeremy's face, I don't think he was a Mighty Ducks guy.
Oh no, it was great. I love the Mighty Ducks. But even if you just go back to the beginning, like the Emilio Estevez character is just like the guy who didn't want to be there in the first place. That's the always the like trope of the great coach of all the teams. Like it just doesn't work that way in real life. It's all just a big load of BS.
Look at this alcoholic guy. Just, yeah. He's driving in the middle of ice in his limo.
The old like, hey, let's take this alcoholic and make them coach like women's baseball, or let's make them coach the Bad News Bears, or let's make them coach hockey. Seems like all you do is be an alcoholic is fall forward in the movies.
That does seem to be what we do. Yeah. Now oh my gosh, we are so far in the weeds. The Tom Hanks character in a League of Their Own, was he based on a real coach?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think loosely. I think everything in that movie is very loosely based on, like, I think it's based on the fact that, like, the league existed. That's about as close as it gets to reality.
Oh, no, what will break your heart is reading the historical accuracy of Cool Runnings. Again, it's the Jamaican bobsled team existed, and that's about where it stops.
I thought you were going to talk about Michael Orr, right? Now that we're learning that like the Blind Side stuff was a lie, but Cool Runnings. Go on.
No, it's just like there was a Jamaican bobsled team. People were way more supportive of Jamaica having a Jamaican bobsled team. It had a lot of corporate sponsorships. It was like a legit program. It wasn't just this, you know, we're going to practice in this push cart down a hill. That's not what it was. It actually was way more planned out and way more supported. They didn't face nearly the adversity that is shown in that movie, but it was funny. I don't even think the guys that were on the bobsled team had the same names as they did in the movie.
Well,
and the whole thing about John Candy cheating, that was just made up.
And thanks for spicing up, right? Thanks for joining us today on the 90s movies podcast.
Right, let's talk about some soccer, huh? I guess
the big green.
Yeah. Oh, Kicking and Screaming. I watched that recently. It is so good. So good. The Dicka stuff is so good. Just amazing. Even if you're a Bears fan, you'd appreciate it.
Sure.
Packers fan.
How are the Doubloons?
The Doubloons, they got shelled at home 4-2 by the Tacoma Defiance. Tacoma looked really good. RD was terrible. There was a red card though that I watched the highlights and it seemed like, I don't know, like he pushed a guy and maybe he made contact with his head. It seemed like one of those red cards that only happens because there's no VAR. But anyway, They are sinking further down the standings in the West. They are now in eighth place, so just outside of the playoffs, looking in. Hopefully they can turn it around. I'm not sure how much longer they have in their season, but obviously things are wrapping up. So again, we'd love to watch them, you know, cover some playoff games for them, but not looking good right now.
And Justin, another summer has come and gone without us going out to Blaine and checking out one of these games.
I know, man.
We say we're going to go every year.
We're going to go to a game. We're going to watch these guys all the time. No.
Didn't happen. We apologize. It's not that we don't love you. It's just, I don't know. Okay, Ford Madison. So Mingo's still fifth in the USL League One. They tied, right? Last episode, we were talking about Central Valley Fuego FC.
Takis.
Who for some reason are not sponsored by Takis. 4-4, right? 4-4. So, yeah, again, still fourth in the USL League One. Let's get them back up in the top four. All right, the Loons. We have two games we need to talk about. We'll start off with the 1-1 draw at home to Seattle. Justin, how was the game for you?
Yamar Gomez scored twice. Fortunately, he scored once for us as well as for Seattle. Both of them were beautiful headers.
Beautiful header. That, I mean, that was the goalie had no chance on that one.
But yeah, I wonder how often this happens. Like, this is obviously a rarity, right? But like, for someone to score all the goals in a game, that's a draw.
I mean, probably more than you think. Like, just given the nature of the game, right? Like, probably more than you think. One thing that really encouraged me with this, you know, as we've been kind of coming into the second half, is that, you know, the last 10 to 15 minutes of this game, we were the ones on the front foot. Seattle was chasing us. Like, it really didn't seem like if anybody was going to take all three, it was going to be us. And that just seems like that's very much not the way it's gone when we played Seattle in the past.
Yeah, this was our fifth point in 14 matchups head-to-head in MLS, right? So we've had one win and two draws out of those 14 games. And we looked like we should have won that game. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm in full agreement, Jeremy. You know, to leave with a draw kind of hurts, but it feels good knowing that we're making progress against a team that we cannot do anything against.
Yeah, well, one win and two draws in 14 games. Like, that's not great. That is not great. I was listening, you know, full disclosure, I was listening to this game on Score North while I was driving back from Wisconsin. These daytime games don't really work well for people with little kids, so I had to rely on these guys to watch it. But, you know, as I'm, you know, kind of driving into the Twin Cities and listening to the end of this game, and I mean, those Score North guys were talking about just, I don't want to say opportunity after opportunity, chance after chance after chance, but they really were talking about Seattle being the team that packs it in. Seattle was the team that did what we normally do, and Seattle fans were the ones that had to just suffer through the final, you know, 10, 20 minutes to see if they were going to come home with anything. So I agree. That's a good position for us to be in. All right.
Well, and looking at the stats, I mean, we had almost, you know, double the expected goals, you know, 10 more shots than they had. I mean, it was a fairly, you know, a fairly dominant performance, and we even had the majority of the possession. So, you know, there were times when Seattle kind of were on their front foot and they were dangerous. And I don't know why it is. Maybe it's because it's the team you watch all the time, but it seems like anytime someone is dangerous against us, like they're really dangerous. Like, we just look like we don't know what we're doing defensively when we're dangerous, it looks like it took a lot of work. I don't know. But I do think that, you know, this is a very different Minnesota Seattle game than we've had in the past, so it's good to see. And I think you know, as we're going to talk about with the next game, it's good to see, like, we kind of took some momentum from that and built off of it.
Yeah, let's talk about this next game. Last night, so Wednesday night game, we win 3-0 against Colorado Rapids, right at home in front of the Allianz crowd. Guys, before we get going, I had a heartwarming experience watching this game. I don't know if anyone else out there picked up on this. The excitement that you could see in Jan Gregish's face being back home at Allianz, knowing that he's about to hear Wonderwall and gets to do his, you know, his curtain called bow towards the Wonderwall. He looks so excited. He looks so enthusiastic. That, I don't know. That was heartwarming for me.
It's been awesome having him back. He fit right in, right? He knows the system. It wasn't like he had to adjust at all, right? Like, he's played here before, and yeah, just good for him. Good for him to have that opportunity. That was a great thing to see.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if I was to talk to Jan, maybe he would be like, oh yeah, it was just another win, just another game. No big deal. But I think that one, he was kind of savoring that moment and really, really loving being back. Anyway, our lineup, Dane St. Clair in the goal. Our back line, Joseph Rosales on the left, Tapias and Boxy in the middle, Taylor on the right. It was Trapp and Gregish in the midfield, our attacking midfield, Dotson on the left wing, Reynoso in the 10, and Tajori Shirati on the right. And then up top, it was Timo Pukki. We did have four substitutes. Again, we kind of talked about this earlier, the depth on this team that allows us to make changes in the game that really do have impacts, right? We had, in the 63rd minute, we had Franco Fragapane come on for Timo Pukki. Again, Franco Fragapane, you could argue that he should be starting, and he's coming on as a sub in the 63rd minute. In the 63rd minute, you also have our South Korean Mbappe, Sangbin Jung, come on for Ishmael Tajori Shirati. 73rd, you have Ethan Bristow come on for Joseph Rosales. In the 82nd, you have Mender Garcia come on for Emmanuel Reynoso. And, you know, I was listening back to one of our more recent episodes, and Mender Garcia, I think we need to continue to support this guy. Obviously, Heath, right? Heath is a guy that when he gives people even just a little bit of time at the end of the game, right? That's a big deal coming from Adrian Heath. I think we need to continue to support this guy. I know that we as Minnesota United fans were sort of perpetually worrying about the striker position, that we forget that Mender Garcia is a young guy, right? We might've been kind of tired and kind of uninspired of seeing Mender Garcia up top, but he's a young guy, and right, he continues to show some trust in him. He had a goal like two or three games ago. I forget what it was, but I think Minnesota United fans, I just want to kind of reiterate this, that I think we need to stand by him and just sort of continue to be excited about his development.
Well, he's actually been decent in this role. I mean, like, it's kind of a perfect role for him. He comes in, you know, the last 10 to 15 minutes of a game. He's fresh. He's got energy. You know, he's able to just kind of play a little more relaxed, get into the flow of the game, and you know, maybe playing against some more tired defenders, you know, whereas before he was very disappointing as a guy who was really probably had no business starting up top for, a contending MLS side. So, like, I mean, it's just kind of like the role change makes a big difference.
Yeah, well said, man.
And ever when he came to this team, he was always supposed to just be a depth piece, right? Like, that was his plan all along. He just because of situations was thrust into starting, thrust into playing a lot. And, you know, like you said, Sam, he's only 24, so it's not over for him. He just needs to gain some confidence.
Well, and I think it doesn't help that if you don't follow the team super closely and you're just like, ooh, Minnesota United's DP forward, Mender Garcia, like, yeah, of course. Like, if you just think of every DP as being the same and you just think of every DP is supposed to be like Emmanuel Reynoso, then you're going to, right, then you're going to have these expectations that a young developing prospect is not going to be able to reach. But if you kind of just think of him as, yeah, he's a player that we paid more money for than many players on our team. But a big reason we paid that money for him is because of, you know, who we think he can be rather than who he is right now. And then even like the DP tag, right? Everyone listening right now knows this. You know, he's a DP, but he's more a DP in the sense that, like, we use this to balance our books. We can buy him down. Like, he doesn't need to be a DP, you know, at least at his current salary. He doesn't need to be a DP forever, right? Like, Robin Lud is not a DP, but Robin Lud makes more money than Mender Garcia. Like, the DP tag, I think, sometimes gives false impressions as well as unrealistic expectations. Anyway, stats, right? So not only did we win this game 3-0, this is an interesting stat. We won this game 3-0 with 55% of the possession. So we won this game and, like, didn't close things down like we've been known to do. We won this game and kept pressing forward. In fact, we won the possession battle against Seattle as well.
Well, and if you kind of take this game from the beginning, this game was really frustrating for the first 20 minutes. You know, up until the point when Reynoso pretty much made something out of nothing and earned the penalty, which I actually have some questions on the penalty as well for you guys. But, like, looking at that, I mean, Colorado was kind of peppering us a little bit early on, and they were keeping us on our back foot, and it just kind of seemed like everything was really sluggish. The passing was sluggish. It almost seemed like, you know, they were trying to do too much in a sense. And then once that goal went in, all of a sudden we invited pressure again for a little bit. And then it just kind of, we kind of took over from there. After we kind of let some pressure and stuff after that, it sort of like just became our game. And really in the second half, like, I mean, we kind of coasted. Like, yeah, we did have some possession and stuff, but you can kind of tell Colorado, the air was out of that balloon in the second half. And you know, it allowed some of our guys who don't normally get into the flow of play to be able to do that a little bit. So, but yeah, I kind of told Sam in the chat, or told everybody in the chat, like, I'm really negative for a game that we're up 3-0, you know, at halftime, but it did start a little rocky.
So I didn't get a chance to watch the first half live. We had family over for dinner, and I looked at my phone and I saw that it was just getting blown up. And the only notification that I glanced at, because I didn't want to spoil anything for myself, was Jeremy, one of yours. And I saw your name on most of the things, and it was you just complaining. So I was like, oh, crap. I assumed that we got lit up. So when I saw that we were up 3-0, that was a good feeling.
I mean, he's called Doomsday for a reason.
But I mean, seriously, I bet you if you ask anyone who was watching that game, they were very frustrated early on. It was bad. I mean, they just kind of seemed like they didn't wake up until Reynoso woke them up. And then I guess to ask the question, like, and this is just more of like a, hey, I'm my novice soccer knowledge. So when they gave the penalty to Reynoso, the contact on that penalty started outside the box. So like, is it where the contact starts, or is it because he actually went down with the contact in the box that that's why the penalty was given?
Yeah. I wondered that as well. I thought maybe it was like, because he finished the tackle. Like it felt like he, like in the NFL, right? Like finishing the tackle on the quarterback is part of the, like one of the rules, right? The, what's the word I'm thinking of? I'm not in football mode yet, where you hit the quarterback. Anyway, no, where it's like
roughing the passer.
Yeah.
We're.
So is it? I know that, like, yeah, right. Because he started the grab outside the box, but then he like tackles him inside the box. That would be the only thing I would say, but I'm not a rules expert. So,
well, and just Reynoso continuing to show his ability to frustrate defenders and get them to do stupid things. Right.
Well, and I would say, like, they reviewed it and they deemed it to be a penalty. And I would say that that meant something, but I haven't been exactly confident in the review system in general. So that to me didn't definitively tell me that it was called correctly.
Apple TV really needs a officiating expert to just chime in and tell us what's all going on. I mean,
James, can they hire James?
Would he have to apply for the job and not tell his fiance about it?
I mean, he could probably do the job remotely, right? I mean, like, it's just watching the play. He could do that from, you know, I mean, he wouldn't get to sleep, but I mean,
he already doesn't sleep.
Exactly.
He's going to be so conditioned to have a baby. Other than he's not... He'll be conditioned as far as sleep goes to have a baby. I don't know what he's going to do with all these hobbies that he has.
I think also, like, the reason why he's not taping with us now is this was too early for him. And it's like, what is it, like 11 o'clock there right now? Like 10 o'clock, something like that?
10, yeah. Yeah, and like, he doesn't live in Spain. I think in the Netherlands, they go to bed at a regular time. It's not like they have dinner at 9 o'clock or whatever, like they do in Spain. No. Yeah, he's a funny guy. He definitely lives a lifestyle that none of us do. People are always like, how do you have this European that watches these games late at night and records with you late at night? And I'm like, I don't know. He's one in a million. All right. Yeah, anyway,
he figured out a way to do it.
Enough about James.
So then
I have a question. So last week we discussed Pookie playing Poopy, and he got a goal this week. How do we feel about Pookie's play?
I mean, I thought it was pretty decent. I mean, he had a couple opportunities that he didn't really take advantage of, but like, I mean, everybody has those. I thought that the finish after the Shroudy pass was really important, because it wasn't like it was just a kick and score. Like, he actually took his time and like read the goalkeeper, and for someone who's struggling, that could have very easily been a shot right into the goalkeeper or something. But he showed that he has that goal scoring prowess. What I kind of noticed, and maybe like this is, I don't know if it's a gameplay thing or a strategy thing for us, but like, it seems that we have trouble kind of finding the guys that are more of those stand-up guys in the box. You know, like it seems like we struggle to find Pookie like in those scoring areas where he can just catch and shoot. And so like, maybe that's part of it too, is just like, that's not really how we play. And so I wonder if like, you know, he's scored both his goals essentially on breakaways, but when we're in the sort of like play in the offensive zone, he kind of does disappear a little bit. So I wonder if that has something to do with it.
And I do think it is a little bit of both, right? We've said this every time we get excited about a striker coming in. We have talked, right? We've said the fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice. Wait, sorry. Fool me once, shame on you. I'm George Bushing it over here. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You don't get fooled again. You don't fool the fool. Whatever he said. We have been, right? We've bought into the hype on two or three strikers too many. And it perhaps seems like maybe our system just isn't super conducive to strikers. I think that, yes, there are probably aspects of Pookie's game that if we played a little bit different, things would work better for Pookie. I also, right, we've seen Pookie beat a little off target, or we've seen Pookie shoot it directly at the goalkeeper. So I don't think Pookie is totally in form yet either. You know, Minnesota United is a team that tends to have fewer scoring opportunities and needs to capitalize on those opportunities that occur. And Pookie hasn't capitalized on all the opportunities that he's been given. So I think that that's part of it too, that if, right, some of these balls that he's been given bounce a different way, he strikes them in a different way, I think we could be talking about Pookie a lot differently. And I think that that's why, I mean, right, it's just important that we continue to see Pookie become acclimated. But, right, I think there is this overwhelming feeling, or this overriding feeling with the fan base, that, you know, is Pookie just the next Hanu? Is Pookie just the next Amaria? Is Pookie just the next, I mean, Angelo Rodriguez? Just go on. We've had just so many of these guys come in, and no one since Christian Ramirez has really worked out for us.
I would also say, though, that, like, it's really simple to just look at the idea of goal scoring and his goal scoring specifically and say he's not worked out for us. But like, everybody wants to point to, oh, this team really started like playing well when Reynoso came back. But really, if you look at like the games in between Reynoso coming back and then Pookie joining the team, it wasn't until Pookie joined the team that we really started scoring goals. So like, yes, Reynoso made us look better. But those games that Reynoso played when Pookie wasn't there, we weren't exactly lighting up the scoreboard. So, like, even if Pookie's not the one putting it in the net, he's changed the way defenses have to play us, and he has made a difference with us putting the ball. I mean, like, we score two goals a game, you know, and that used to be, like, you used to never get fries. Now you always get fries. Like,
I assume McDonald's dropped that promotion. I don't think McDonald's does that promotion anymore, right? They were only guaranteeing it for 8 games. And I think they just let us keep talking about it because we're giving them free advertisement, because it just sort of became a joke of the fan base that we want fries. We want fries. We need 2 goals for fries, and we never score 2 goals. Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. And, you know, Jeremy, to your credit, you've been talking about this for weeks, if not months now, the sort of non-goal scoring impact that Pookie has had on the team. And I believe that you're right. So with that win, we are back
in as far as the standings, we have risen to seventh place. So if the season ended today, we would be in the playoffs, finally. Now, Colorado, to be fair, Colorado is in 14th of 14 Western Conference teams. So we beat a team that we really should have beaten. Jeremy, you had a crazy thought that at seventh place, we are as likely to miss the playoffs as we are to get to finish second.
Yeah, I mean, we're 5 points out of second place right now, you know, and, you know, we're 3 points from, you know, from 10th place Austin right now. So like it's very much like just this huge compact thing. And maybe it's fair to say, like, you know, to finish third or fourth or whatever, but like to host a game, you know, is a real possibility. I mean, you know, we're only 3 points behind Houston and we're only four goals behind them, you know, and I just think that, you know, what it kind of boils down to is if you look at our schedule and everything, like right now we have a huge game this weekend against San Jose. Huge game. This San Jose game is probably the biggest game of the year, in my opinion. Because after the San Jose game, then it starts to get a little bit more dicey. We have New England, St. Louis, we got, you know, LAFC, like some of those games coming up where, you know, maybe a draw is what we're shooting for. But I mean, we have the players right now. We've been scoring goals. I think our defense needs to stiffen up a bit, but I see no reason why in the West we're not a contender.
Yeah. Well, and some of the teams in front of us, so we're at 35 points. Seattle's in third place with 40 points. We have two games in hand on Seattle. Houston is in fourth with 38 points. We also have a game in hand on Houston, right? So we could be tied on points, not necessarily goal differential, but we could be tied on points with Houston, fourth place Houston, in one more game. Vancouver Whitecaps, Real Salt Lake in sixth place, just right in front of us. They're only 2 points ahead of us at 37 points. We have a game in hand on them too. So quite a few of the teams in front of us, we're in striking distance of, and we have games in hand on them. Got to win those games, but that's why we got to keep it rolling.
Yeah. So Jeremy, did you get those stats from 538? What did you look into the probability of each playoff position?
No, I'm just looking at
made it up off the top of my head right now.
So I'm looking at their data, and I think that I see, so they have a 4% chance of finishing in last according to their models, and they have a 4% chance of finishing second according to their models. So
Minnesota United.
Yeah. So Jeremy, you were spot on.
Blind squirrel and nuts and all that stuff, you know.
I'm surprised. I guess Seattle is. So what we're talking about is I just shared the 538 stats with these guys. It's kind of small, so I don't know if you can actually read it, but yeah, we are. What are we? We're eighth in their rankings in the West right now. We have a 65% chance of making the playoffs, according to them. So that's good.
Yeah, I'll have to look at this. I always forget that this site exists. But it is cool to look at the odds.
I think at the end of the day, I mean, let's just, you know, take it from League Cup on, right? We've taken 7 out of 9 so far. We have a huge game against San Jose coming up. And, you know, just the run of play has been, I mean, the run of play during the cup was great and we've kind of carried that over. You know, we found ways to, you know, to make things happen. You know, the New York game wasn't pretty, but we got that beautiful goal by Grey Goose. And then, you know, the Mender Garcia 90th minute to make it 2-0, you know, we've picked up, you know, we've scored 6 goals since the, we've scored 6 goals, including the own goal scored by Seattle. We've scored 6 goals since the League Cup, and we've only allowed 1. So, you know, the run of play right now is really good. We got to keep that momentum. So we are going to be playing some of the top teams at the end of the year here. And I'm sorry I'm being so positive. I will try to get more negative and be true to my doomsday name, you know, as soon as we don't look as good as we need to.
Scratch those numbers I said. They have not updated this since June 12th. So those are not current stats from 538.
Ooh. No, side note, did you get this Andy Greeter tweet that James just sent us?
Yeah, it's just saying that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it says anything. Alone. Yeah, doesn't seem to. Okay.
They have to do it by Friday. So.
Now, so our next game is a Saturday game. It's a late one at San Jose. It's a 9:30 start, which I don't know, right? Like as a parent, as a parent of young kids, I love the 7:30 ones. The kids are in bed and it's not too late in the night. These 9:30 ones, the kids will be in bed, but I don't like staying up until 11:30. Anyway, it's against San Jose, right behind us in the table. So as Jeremy said, it is a huge game, possibly the biggest game of the season thus far. Now, Jan Gregish never had a revenge game against us. Will he have a revenge game against San Jose?
That'd be cool.
Double his goal scoring prowess.
Have we had a player get a revenge game while wearing a Minnesota United uniform? Has that happened yet? It happens to us all the time. But have we been able to dish it out?
Good question.
I don't think we have.
I'm trying.
Listeners, if there's someone out there who is still listening to our silly show about an hour in, and you can think of a loon that's had a revenge game against their former team. So for our benefit, not at our detriment.
This could be wrong, but what about who's the goalkeeper we had last year he's starting somewhere else now? Tyler Miller? Didn't he play against one of his former teams and shut him out at some point or something?
I think you're right. LAFC. I think LAFC. Yeah.
So that's the closest I can think of.
Yeah, right. I'm sure Boxall has had I'm thinking of defensive guys. I'm sure Boxall has played well against
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Right? That's where we got him from.
So Finlay and Trapp both played for Columbus, but I mean, we don't play Columbus that often, and I don't remember either of them having a very good. I'm sure they played fine against Columbus, but I don't remember either of them against Columbus.
When's the last time Trapp played good enough to get revenge on anybody?
He had some zip on some shots at the goal yesterday.
He did. He had a well, and the point where you told me I was being negative, Sam, was right after Hassani Dotson near banger, and I was I said banger adjacent because it was so close, and then I got told I was being negative. I'm like, no, that was a positive. He crushed that shot.
I wasn't referring. Yeah, whatever. Sorry, I'm still just trying to think. Have we? One of the listeners will tell us either yes or no. So, listeners, if you're out there, have we ever been on the good side of a revenge game? If not, Jan, we believe in you, buddy. We believe in you.
You're the chosen one. Did Abila score an own goal against us at any point?
Man. If we could know, that would be the guy that I would want to talk to Heath about. Like, tell me about the Ramon Abila experience, because it was wild from our point of view. I can't even imagine.
He was just here. There was some fanfare, and then he went away. Sorry, go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I was going to say, Hanu's the one I would like to know a little more about. Because Hanu, to me, always seemed like a weird situation as well.
Yeah. I imagine Hanu, it was just like both sides knew it wasn't working out, and he wanted to go back. He was a professional the entire time.
But yeah, like Abla, like he was here and then he went. Now we have had, there are like two or three people that have some connections to the team that, and I've always been very, very confidential with these. I share it with the Pot on You Loons crew and with no one else, but we have heard a little bit of, I guess we could call it gossip regarding some of these departures and why they didn't work out. So if anyone knows the Avila story, we're good for it. We'll keep it to ourselves. But yeah, we are curious, like what happened there.
Wasn't he the one that we signed to watch Timberwolves games? Isn't that what he was signed for?
He seemed like he was on vacation a lot.
Yeah, he was like in Miami, like watching the Heat play while we were playing, I think, right? Like he was just everywhere in whatever sports team he was watching play. He was wearing their jersey, but it was number 10 Maradona on the back. Like, legitimately, this is what he was doing when he was here. And it was just something, man. It was something.
Yeah. Like, when we bring in these players, especially when we bring in these foreign players, like, we need to do a better job of, like, how much do you like the NBA? Like, do you like the NBA, like, a healthy amount? Or are you, like, a super fan? Like, do you like the NBA more than the club you're signing for? Because, yeah, Hanu was a big NBA fan. Like, that's why he wore 23. Now, he was a total professional. I'm not trying to compare the two, but.
I do always wonder, though, like, you have all these different people from different, you know, nationalities, different countries. Like, even just take, like, Abongi, like, how he adjusts to Minnesota life, right? Like, and I know, like, they have some of those, like, get-to-know-your-loons types of things on some of the different channels. I don't know. I find that stuff interesting because I got to imagine that Minnesota is a little different than South Africa. So, and then you really, like, he's the only South African on the team. Yeah. And then, you know, you got guys from different walks of life. So it's kind of it's kind of an interesting thing. You think about how all of it works together.
Yeah. You throw a bunch of guys from all over the world into a room and expect them to be best friends.
Somebody sent the tweet, right? Like, how exciting it is to watch a South African and a South Korean yell vamos at each other after after a goal, right? Like,
that's awesome.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, anything else either of you want to talk about before we go?
I'm afraid if we try to start talking about something else, this will be a 2.5 hour podcast. So we might want to just keep our thoughts to ourselves.
Regardless of what Jeremy said, this was a great game. We won big against a terrible team. It is exactly what you want to see this team do. It was awesome to see. And on a night that Messi and company got shut out, for us to win big, that was nice as well. Yeah. Because I don't know, did they put our if I look at the social medias, did they put a lot of our stuff on there, I wonder? Or is it just still like Messi just standing around even if they don't score a goal?
I don't know. We don't have our social media expert with us today, so not so sure. But
I think they just had a bunch of like photos of Messi taking a leak and Messi like petting a dog and talking to a child. And that's pretty much like,
I feel like I see a lot of pictures of Messi at the grocery store for whatever reason. But yeah, anything that guy does.
Well, he
buys Cheerios really, just like you.
I really like, you know how like some guys get like made to be so great that like you want to find out something bad about them. Like all I hear about is like, oh, greatest teammate ever. And just the nicest guy and ambassador for the sport and so humble and da da da. It's like, man, I got to find out that you kicked a puppy or like that you like, you know, I don't know.
Like the Bears.
Ugh. Yeah. Or like, you know, maybe, you know, maybe you're a what's like a crappy Tottenham band fan? That he's a Nickelback fan or something like that. If I could just find out that Messi's a Nickelback fan, that would just make me feel better that he's not.
The reason I came to America was to see my favorite band, Nickelback, play in concert.
I've heard Nickelback concerts are a lot of fun.
Either that, or I want to find out he's like horrifically bad at something, like, you know, like he's a, like a 25 bowler or something like that, then that, you know, fine, you're not perfect. Like, yeah. But right now the man is perfect. He can do no wrong.
All right. Well,
and you want to try to end the podcast again, Sam?
Take two.
Yeah. Unless you guys want to hear my theory of two bands that are worse than Nickelback, we can just end the podcast now.
Buck Cherry.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think we want to go down that rabbit hole.
All right. Someone out there wants to. All right. Until next time. Peace out. Pot on you loons.
Peace.
Pot on you loons.
Oi. Good day, mate.
See you later.
Pot on you loons.